I'm your host, correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join Derek Grell, owner and visionary at Corsair Distillery. Corsair is the second oldest craft distillery in Tennessee and was the very first to set up shop in Nashville. Derek Bell.
Welcome to Nashville.
How cool to be here. What a treat. Tell us about how you started and how you became a distiller.
Sure. I started off as a home brewer. I started making beer, and the more I did it, the more I just loved it. I love making beer. I did it for about 10 years and then started distilling just in my basement. Did that for several years, realized it was a felony. It was illegal. And I should probably not be doing that anymore. And so it took me about a year and a half to get my federal distiller's permit to start.
In that meantime, obviously your friends and buddies liked what you were doing, or you would have given it up.
Absolutely. I was very popular at parties. When you start distilling, you get invited to a lot more Christmas parties.
How did you go from the basement to here? This is a great story.
It was a long process, to be honest, and it was made even longer by the fact that Nashville, Tennessee, we weren't allowed to distill in the state of Tennessee outside a few counties that were grandfathered in. So we actually started in Bowling Green. We had to change a state law, and then we had to change a local ordinance within our county. And then we were finally able to open our first distillery here. So it was a really tough process getting open.
So back in the day when you started in Bowling Green, how many other small boutique distillers were there of whiskey in Tennessee, roughly?
There were very few distilleries when we started, very few craft distilleries and micro distilleries when we first started. We were a second craft distillery in the state of Tennessee.
And definitely the first in Nashville.
Definitely the first in Nashville.
It's exploded. I mean, there's a lot of new guys coming on the scene, correct?
You know, it's really exciting right now. I think that food and beverage as a whole is just going through an exciting renaissance. And Southern cuisine is going through an amazing renaissance. I mean, I feel so excited to be a part of something larger. For a long time, I'm from Nashville, but I lived in New York City for 9 years. And Southern food and beverage was kind of looked down upon, and now I go there and there's just this real respect for a lot of Southern food and spirits and what we have going on, so it's great.
So I presume that there are quite a few upscale restaurants in Nashville and Tennessee who carry and serve your product.
Absolutely. We're in about 60 restaurants and bars in Nashville. And we're in about 30 liquor stores. But we're in 32 states, so we're in Chicago, we're in California, we're in Seattle and Portland, and we're, of course, in New York and Florida. So we've really gotten out there. Our brand has really been on a great trajectory. We're expanding rapidly. We're in UK countries now. We're in Belgium, Germany. We're in Sweden, Denmark. So we're getting out there.
And it isn't like you're just making one single malt or one product. I look over your shoulder and it's like a spice rack.
Yeah, I think that's something where maybe we're a little bit more like a craft brewery where we're constantly doing lots of different spirits. You know, the traditional distillery, usually they have three products, and the main difference is the age. And so what you're seeing now is a lot of people like us where they're making a wide range of spirits. So
real wide. Give us a picture of what I see over your shoulder. That's incredible.
Sure. So we have five gins. So we have a gin, we have a barrel-aged gin. We have probably about seven or eight different whiskeys. We make a spiced rum. So we really believe we can make anything and put our sort of unusual spin on it. But I guess what we've been most successful with is what we call alternative whiskeys made with unusual grains. So things like quinoa or buckwheat or oats and smoked whiskeys. So I love a smoky scotch. And so we have whiskeys made with hickory smoke, made with cherry wood and apple smoke, black walnut, persimmon. So we really like to try new things and go for something that, to our knowledge, hasn't been distilled before.
And sugar maple, isn't that right?
So sugar maple is traditionally what Tennessee whiskey is run through, the charcoal mellowing. So we do have one product that has that, but in general, we're really sort of more known for unusual spirits that aren't really that traditional. So, for example, when I was training at the Brooklawdy Distilling Academy in Islay, Scotland, I was trying all these great smoky scotches, and I thought, man, when I get back to the States, I really want to try and make some American smoked whiskeys. And there's such a great American history of smoked foods. You know, of course, I'm thinking barbecue being in the South. But why is there that thing going on with smoked vegetables, meats, cheese, but not with whiskey? And so we really wanted to do a lot of experiments with different types of smoked whiskey.
And we're on the same wavelength. I spent time in Isla, at Morrison Beaumont, and Lagavulin, and that's where I fell in love with the peaty smoked whiskey. And not everybody likes it.
Absolutely. I love that great Isla peaty thing going on. I got to go to all the distilleries while I was there. And so when I came back to the States, I had some friends who were really into the World Series of Barbecue, and they were really into all these barbecue shows. And they said, you know, a lot of the smoke types that are winning, it's not just mesquite and hickory. So you should really try things like alderwood. You should try some of the fruit woods. You should try, you know, black walnut. You should try a lot of these unusual wood types, that, and you can taste the difference in the final thing. And so that was one of the things we really wanted to play with, was those different smoke types and how they really change the whiskey.
Today, what's your favorite pleasant surprise in your smoky experiments?
You know, the fruit woods all have a great sweetness to them, and I think my favorite there is pear wood. It's very similar to apple, but it's just fantastic. And then we've made a couple of multi-grains. We have a 12-grain bourbon that we made that I think had a lot of great complexity. But on the smoke front, I'd say it's probably the fruit woods.
I think we're also on the same wavelength relative to blended whiskeys and single malts. And I love, more than anything, a great single malt. And I understand that you do that.
Yes. We actually have a Tennessee single malt coming out in about 2 months. We're really excited about that because we floor malted it ourselves at our farm. And, you know, it's kind of a way of just giving some respect back to Scotland and the tradition of that. And I think that these new American single malts that are coming out, I think that's an area where the craft distilleries are really showing some creativity and changing the whiskey landscape.
And there's a parallel, I think, to the small lot winemaker, in that with a single malt, you don't have any crutch. You can't mask it. You know, either you got it or you don't. Is that right?
Without question, you know, there's a lot of connection between the small winery movement and the craft beer movement, and now the craft spirits and craft distilling movement. But I do love that about single malt, where, you know, it's so signature as opposed to a blend. It just really stands out.
Presume there's going to be a premium price for your, oh my God, single malt.
You know, we try to keep our stuff fairly affordable. There'll be a little bit of a premium. I think it'll be 44, like our other spirits.
That's really cool. We're about out of time, but please share anything you want to share with us.
Sure. I would just say drink local, you know, try new things. The world of whiskey is changing rapidly. Southern food and beverage is changing rapidly. We're living in, I think, a renaissance. Go out there and try stuff and enjoy it, and try some Corsair.
For further information,
check us out at CorsairArtisan.com.
Derek Bell, owner and distiller at Corsair Distillery in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for dropping by.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Nashville, Tennessee.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkan Songs on NPR affiliate KUAR.